Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PD Radio. Every Tuesday, bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio.
Sometimes you make me smile.
speak the clarity of time. You were once the eye that is now missing you. You were once the baby born, and you had dreams of making a difference in the world. My journey was formed.
Hello, hello, XOXO. It's Tuesday, October 2nd, and you are live with PD Radio. We appreciate you guys tuning in tonight with me, Miss PD, and my awesome co-host, Mr. Black. How you feeling tonight, Mr. Black?
As always, you know, I am feeling good. This is, like we always call it, the best 2 hours of the week. We might have to call this a little poetic, tasty Tuesday tonight, so it's going to be a nice, you know, lovely show. We're going to keep the energy flowing like we always do.
Yeah, nice, smooth, mellow show. I like what we opened up with tonight, you guys. I hope you guys enjoy that. It's called Sometimes You Make Me Smile by Slowetry. It's so smooth and so serene. It's such a beautiful song. You like it?
Like I said, it's classic. You know, I think I'll put you on Slowetry, so, you know. You went into my crates on that one.
You had to expose me, huh? You had to go there. You
and
had
you
to let it be known.
How you not have but some of the phloetic stuff going on in your archive?
The point is this, though. I picked it out. Ha ha. That is
you
the
got
point.
That. You got that.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that. The vocals on that song just make me melt, though. It's so smooth. It's so beautiful. It's so sexy. I just love it. It's like,
Yeah, them girls are nice. They need to do another CD together, I think.
Yeah.
One more time.
They complement each other very well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mr. Black, last week's show we had a musical tribute to Miss Tina Marie, Stevie Wonder, and Luther Vandross. We played a lot of their classic songs, and we need to do a part two of that because we didn't get to all of our songs. There was just no time, but
right.
That was a good show last week, wasn't it? It was very good. The songs that take you back and make you think, and it's like, yeah, loved it.
I mean, they were... A lot of the songs that I have on, you know, heavy rotation, just, you know, when I want to meditate or just kind of kick back and I don't want to hear none of that new stuff, that's, you know, I'm going back that way. So it was a lovely show.
I really don't know any of the new music that's out now because I don't listen. If somebody say, oh, did you hear the new? Nope, didn't hear it. I don't check for it. Hey, I'm just keeping it real. I don't listen to it. I'm not attracted to it at this point. It does nothing for me. And it might be some good stuff out there, but I'm so turned off over most of the junk that's out. Like, I don't even want to be bothered.
That's because everything sounds the same.
Pretty much, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Tonight, our guest on the show will be GPA, which stands for The Greatest Poet Alive, and his lovely poetic partner, soft-spoken poet, Cotton. This should be an interesting interview. As GPA has told me, he's going to debut a piece tonight, so we shall see what's up with that. You ready for that one, Black?
Exclusive. Oh, yeah.
The poetic duo will be here tonight.
Yeah, and we always get the exclusives, too. I think we just have a knack for pulling it out of people.
Like I said on another show, you know, I had people on my site who said they never wrote poetry before. And I would just tell them, just write how you feel about the day. Just, you know, whatever your thoughts were, whatever happened to you today, good or bad, just kind of write it on paper. You'll be amazed at what comes out. So, you know, with that being said, they hit me up and said, you know, wow, I never would have did this if you didn't push me to do it. I said, see, there's no science to it. Poetry is personal to everybody who writes it. It doesn't have to make sense to the next person. It has to make sense to you.
That's true.
And anybody who can get their poetry out, and if it happens to reach somebody, that's just an added blessing. So, you know, you can't go wrong with the poetry. Put some vocals on there. Add some music to it. You're going places.
Hey, we know you're out there. If you write poetry or, you know, encourage someone else to write poetry, call us up. We want to hear your thoughts on what poetry means to you. So hit us up, 646-478-3599. So
call us
remember
up right now,
one.
People.
Oh, yeah.
Press 1 to talk to us. Well,
we
you know, this month, this month, Black, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I want to give some PD love to everyone who has or knows someone who has fought this unwanted disease that seems to be continuously rising. To the strong women who face this with complete faith, we salute you. And to the men also, because men also get breast cancer. I just recently read that 1 out of 2 men get breast cancer. That kind of blew me away. I never knew that. And they said the most common cause for men getting breast cancer is from using deodorant, antiperspirant. There's chemicals in the antiperspirant that causes breast cancer in men.
Mm.
Crazy, right?
Hey, you know, it's funny you mention that because I actually thought about that a long, long time ago, that what's the most common, you know, one of the most common things that everybody use, we all use deodorant, you know what I'm saying? So, and who knows what's in the formula, so don't know.
That's crazy. I mean, does that deter you now, Black, from using it, or will you continue to use it?
I'm going to keep using it because I'm going to have to take chances. No, I'm just playing. but it does make you think. I think what it is, too, is that I think you can use it, but I think you shouldn't always wear it. You should let your body kind of naturally you know, kind of calm itself down. Like, there's people who, you know, all day, you know, you're throwing deodorant on. That's not, you know, that's not good. You know, wash up, do what you need to do, but you don't always have to, or, you know, always have to use it. Maybe something light or use something, a different brand, something different, you know, whether it's baby powder or something else, you know, when you're just in the house chilling or something like that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I saw the actress Fran Drescher on TV, and she was talking about it, you know, because she's a cancer survivor. And she was talking about it, and she mentioned as well the 1 out of 2 men getting breast cancer. So the host of the show asked her, he said, well, okay, well, so what are we supposed to do? As men, what are we supposed to do? She was like, I don't know what to tell you. She said, go in the bathroom and wash under your arms 2 or 3 times a day, but don't use it. And, I mean, that was her solution. I mean, she was making a joke out of it. It was funny, but she was being, you know, truthful in her answer. Like, if that's what you need to do 3 or 4 times a day, then do that. I mean, she was saying it's better to do that than, you know, possibly getting the breast cancer. And it's funny because you know, I lost my dad to cancer 2 years ago, and it wasn't breast cancer, but he never used deodorant, never, and he didn't have sweat glands under his arms. And one time he was packing or something to go somewhere, and his girlfriend, she was packing his bag, and he wasn't home. So she had called me, and she was like, I have to run out and get your dad deodorant. Like, what kind does he use? And I'm like, he doesn't use it. And she was like, looking at me like I'm retarded. Like, what do you mean he doesn't? Like, everybody uses it. I said, my father doesn't use deodorant. What do you mean? I'm like, he doesn't use it. Like, you want to call and ask me, I'm telling you, he does not use it. And she thought I was straight lying. But he didn't, you know, he didn't have, like, the sweat glands on his arm, so he never used deodorant. Isn't that something, huh?
Everybody not lucky. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of dudes out there that that sweat like, you know, Moses Malone, you know what I'm saying? So he just can't walk around with no deodorant on. So there's some dudes out there, you walk outside, and it's over. It's straight, you know, waterfall.
Like a sexy actor, Matthew McConaughey. He does not wear deodorant. He wears...
See, I don't know about him. I think that'd be funky, though.
One of his co-stars said one time said, you know, he has that natural man smell.
Yeah, it's natural.
So, you know, he washes under his arm. He'll just walk around funky, but still, you know, if you're working, you're moving around, and you start sweating under there before you get a chance to wash it.
Mm-hmm. Smell like bad hot dog.
But, yeah, he doesn't. He's made it very, it's public knowledge. He doesn't use deodorant. That's crazy. Well, enough about that. You know, in honor of Cancer Awareness Month, you can help support the fight by purchasing The Sisters Fight, a poetic anthology of awareness on cancer and bullying, which is written by me and three co-authors, Danica Worthy, Jamila Gomez, and Deidre Green. It's available on Amazon, Nook, and anywhere you purchase your e-reading. The book is only $2.99. Like, you have no reason to not support this. It's only $2.99. We're not trying to hurt your pockets. And 30% of the proceeds will go to cancer and bullying charity. So please, please, please pick up The Sisters Fight and support cancer awareness and bullying. So
that's right.
With that, that's right.
No excuses.
That's right. No excuses. $2.99. Come on, peoples. So I'd like to shout out some celebrity birthdays today. We have musician Sting. He is 61 years old today. You go, Sting. We have actress Lorraine Bracco from The Sopranos and The Goodfellas. Goodfellas, that's my movie right there. I love that movie. She's 58 years old today. Happy birthday, Lorraine. We have singer Freddie Jackson, 54 today. I was about to sing in his songs, but I decided against doing that. I'm not going to embarrass myself this week. My vocal ability.
No, please don't.
Shut up. Shutty. Yeah.
Please don't.
Kelly Ripa is 42 today. Happy birthday, Kelly. And last but not least, we have Miss Latasha Scott of Escape. She's 39 today. Happy birthday, Latasha. Happy birthday to all you guys and many more. This is for you.
Happy birthday.
You're killing me with that clip.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Go ahead, Black.
I'm just... What? Oh, you want me to... And many
oh,
more.
Oh, you messed up.
I threw it in there.
You are late. You're messing up the flow, Black. Happy birthday, guys. Many, many more to you all. And on that note, we're going to go into our second song of the night. Another sexy little ditty by Miss Jill Scott. Black, I'm going to beat you. By Miss Jill Scott, featuring Mos Def, and it's called Love Rain. Check it out, you guys.
Thank you. sunny afternoon, cumulus clouds, 84 degrees. He was brown, deep. Said he wanted to talk about my mission, listen to my past lives. Took me on long walks to places where butterflies rest easy. Talked about Moses and Mumia, reparations, blue colors, memories of shell top Adidas. He was fresh, like summer peaches, sweet on my mind, like block parties and penny candy. Us was nice and warm. No jacket, no umbrella, just warm. At night we would watch the stars and he would physically give me each and every one. I felt like cayenne pepper, red, hot, spicy. I felt dizzy and Sonia, heaven and miles between my thighs. Better than love, we made delicious. He me had me he had me tongue-tied. I could hear his rhythm in my thoughts. I was his shark, his horn section, his boom and his bit. And he was my love. Blood rained down on me, down on me. The rain was falling and slowly and sweetly and stinging my eyes, and I could not see that he became my voodoo priest and I was his faithful concubine. Wide open, wide, loose like boughs after collard greens. The mistake was made. Love slipped from my lips, dripped down my chin and landed in his lap, and us became new. Now, me non-clairvoyant and in love made the coochie easy and the obvious invisible. The rain was falling and I couldn't see the season changing and the vibe slipping off its axis. Our beautiful melody became wildly staccato. The rain was falling and I could not see that I was to be plowed and sown and fertilized and left to drown in his sunny afternoon. Cumulus clouds, 84 degrees, melody.
I stretch my arms towards the sky like blades of tall grass. The sun beat between my shoulders like carnival drums. I sat still in hopes that it would help my wings grow, so then I could really be fly. And then she arrived, like daybreak inside a railway tunnel, like the new moon, like a diamond in the mines, like high noon to a drunkard, sudden. She made my heart beat in a now-now time signature. Her skin a canvas for ultraviolet brushstrokes. She was the sun's painting. She was a deep cognac color. Her eyes sparkled like lights along the new city. Her lips pursed as if her breath was too sweet and full for her mouth to hold. I said, you are the beautiful distress of mathematics. I said, for you, I would peel open the clouds like new fruit and give you lightning and thunder as a dowry. I would make the sky shed all of its stars light and rain, and I would clasp the constellations across your waist, and I would make the heavens your cape, and they will be pleased to cover you. They will be pleased to cover you. May I please cover you. Please.
Oh yeah, I like that collab right there. What you feeling about that, Black?
See, they need to do more music like that, though. See, what's going on? Telling. See, because when Jill first came out, there was like this big boom for poetry, neo-soul. It was really, you know, coming to the forefront. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of fading a little bit. But I think we need to bring it back. We need to bring it back.
Definitely. People scared of that creativity. Like, let it out. Let it do it.
Right.
You know,
that's
I'm trying
how
to get my, I'm trying to get my poetry CD of collabs on, but everybody's scared. Everybody said they want to do it. When it comes time to putting down them vocals, they scared. I've done so many collabs, and it's like I just want to put them all together. I want to do all the collabs I've done with other poets, put to music by yours truly, Black, and put out that CD. Y'all got to stop being scared, peoples. Y'all listen. I know y'all listen. I know y'all hear me. Stop being scared. Let's do this. They be like,
some
yeah, what y'all want
like
to do? Let's do. Hey, I don't like my voice either. I have Minnie Mouse voice. But it's my voice. I claim it. So be it. I can't change it. Anywho, I want to talk about something real quick. that's kind of bugging me out right now. Have you heard about American Airlines and their seats coming loose during flight? Crazy. And it happened to at least three of their planes. In mid-flight, their seats are coming loose off the tracks, and they have to do emergency landings to get them fixed. Now, this happened at least three times within a week on a different plane. So, yeah, that's not a faulty seat or seats. That's sabotage. Somebody is unscrewing these seats, trying to kill people. Now, what is up with that? Like, I mean, me personally, if you hear it happen on, you know, one flight, yeah, it'll scare you off a little bit, but you'll be like, oh, it was a one-time thing. But it happened on three of their flights. Any passenger who listens to that is not going to want to fly with American Airlines. Not with it happening three times within a week. That's crazy. You're going through turbulence, and your seat just starts sliding down.
Well, see, here's
now,
here's
funny, the funny
thing.
But it is funny. Well, like,
right, see, the crazy thing about
that
is
somebody is purposely doing that.
After every flight, these planes go through an inspection.
And
the inspection is crazy.
Too.
So how are they missing these seats? You know what I mean? Like, they're
that's
just not.
The point.
Right.
Well, they talked about this on another show one time before, unrelated, you know, to this incident. But they were talking about how, you know, because at one time passengers, their sandwiches had sewing needles in them. Passengers are eating their sandwiches and finding sewing needles in their sandwiches.
Right.
It happened more than once. So that was purposely done. So they were talking about it, you know, as far as that goes. They were saying they're supposed to inspect these planes, you know, between each flight. And they're supposed to pick up on stuff like that, but apparently they're not. And somebody made a good point. They said, well, if you have your flights are constant and you're back-to-back, there's really not enough time to do a thorough inspection. And that's how a lot of this stuff is, you know, missing, not being caught in time. But I'm sorry to have so many seats uplifted from the tracks like that, on at least three different airlines by the same, you know, three different planes by the same company, is like, nah, somebody's doing that.
Exactly.
You got an angry employee or something. Somebody is setting that up.
Right.
That's scary. I mean, I'm scared to fly anyway. So, you know, that just kind of set it up for me.
Yeah, that just doesn't happen.
Nah. Nah. Something's going on. Well, I saw something else crazy today, Vlad.
What's that?
In Philly, a woman who was protesting police presence at the Puerto Rican Day Parade was punched dead in the face by an officer who was mad that they were being squirted with the unknown liquid substance. Like, okay, I saw this on the news this morning. They actually show the officer hitting the woman. His back was to her. He turned around and just, boom, dead in her jaw. I mean, like a straight dude. Like, he didn't try to, you know, push her back or try to hold her hands between her arms or nothing like that. He just turned around. He was a lieutenant, too, black lieutenant. He just turned around and said, boom. Dead in her jaw. I mean, I just watched it like, I couldn't believe he did that. I truly could not believe it. You know, and they talked to her afterwards, and the side of her face is all bruised and swollen, and her arm is all bruised because he knocked her straight to the ground. I mean, you guys got to Google that. He just, boom, in her face. How you just straight up hit a woman like that?
That's the violation for the day.
He hit her like he was hitting a dude for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He needs
call
to
up.
Be, because, I mean, yeah, I know you're mad because they sprayed something on you, you don't know what it is, but you're the authority. You're supposed to get the situation under control. Number one, she wasn't the one from the clip they showed anyway. What happened before that, I don't know. But they showed people behind her, like, you know, squirting whatever it was, or like bottled water. I don't know what it was. But even if that was the case, you're an authority. You're supposed to try to, you know, refrain her. Like, restrain her. You don't just turn around and just be like, punch her in the jaw. And as a woman, you, man, he needs to be fired.
Another lawsuit, that's all. They'll settle it.
He needs to
It'll
be fired.
It'll get settled.
And it was on video, too. And they were talking to the guy who videotaped it with his phone. He videotaped it. He was like, I couldn't believe he did that. You know, a young black guy, he was like, I couldn't believe he just turned around and hit her like that.
Yeah, it didn't
feel like
the,
a little, and it wasn't like a little, like, y'all not understand, like, it wasn't a little slap or anything, like, boom. Oh, man, that was crazy. But, yeah, y'all need to look that up. He needed to be fired. He's on administrative leave, though, while they investigate. Yeah, whatever. There ain't nothing to investigate. He need to be fired.
You know Mayor Nutter tripping.
Out of control. Mayor. And you wonder why people don't trust cops. Like, they showed a video, you know, a few months ago. A woman was handcuffed, already on the ground. I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know any parts of that. I remember seeing a clip. She handcuffed, and she on the ground. The officer just picks up his leg and kicks her on the side of the face. Like, she's not even a threat to you. She's sitting on the curb with her hands handcuffed behind. Handcuffed. That's
yeah, you dicing it up tonight.
Handcuffed. Oh, yeah, I'm butchering every night. But, her hands are handcuffed behind her back, sitting on the curb. You just going, pick your leg up and kick her in the side of the face? Like, these cops are out of control. Out of control. You signed up to do this job to protect. And, yeah, I know there's a lot of crazy people out there that make y'all crazy, but y'all supposed to be above that. Now, if somebody's a threat to you, immediate threat, then you do what you need to do. But for what I'm seeing and how they're hurting people who's not a threat, man, they need to be let go. Point blank, period. Yes, period.
Hey, if you guys have seen some of these clips, man, call us up. Let us know what you think about them. Hit us up at 646-478-3599. We want to hear, you know, what you think about all this craziness going on. So.
Yeah, and while you guys are thinking up your stories and getting ready to call us, we're going to go into another song right now. We're going to play for you to L.A. Find a way. Check it out.
That's right. But before we do that, I got to...
Find our love, hope. I was hoping we could find a way.
Yeah, baby.
hoping we could find a way.
Have what we had again today.
Have what we had again today.
Oh, it's been some time since you and I.
Oh no.
It wouldn't hurt to try.
Hurt to try.
To find our love.
Hurt to try.
For unique, creative gifts for yourself or your loved ones? Well, Poetic Designs offers just that. Personalized pillows, centerpieces, gift favors, framed poetry, baked goods, and more. So check out the site at poeticdesigns.net. At poeticdesigns.net.
Do the
We are back, PD Radio. I hope you guys enjoyed those two selections that we played for you. India Irie, Can You Be a Part of My Life? And before that, we played, what did we play before that? Dwell A, Find a Way. You like those selections, Mr. Black?
Oh, yeah. It got me over here, you know, just chilling. I'm in a nice vibe right now. So I want to see what else you got on the playlist tonight, Miss PD.
Yeah. I come with it.
I see.
You have any violations tonight? Are you violations tonight?
No violations. I just want to make sure. I'm violations tonight. I don't have anything.
Slacking.
Yeah, it's been real smooth the last couple days, so.
Okay. You know.
But my concern right now, I just want to make sure that everyone votes coming up this coming election. And tomorrow we have the first round of the debates. So
that's right.
That should be very, very interesting. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely. I was just going to ask you about that, but I wanted to point out that a judge just blocked the Pennsylvania voter ID law that they tried to pass for this November's election. So the whole thing regarding needing, you know, a valid photo ID with a driver's license. So right now it's been pushed back. So we'll see. But, you know, that's just another way for a certain number of the population not to be able to vote. And, you know, we can't have that. So I like that rule.
So, huh?
I said I like the rule.
Oh, okay.
By the judge.
I saw Romney's people today talking about for this, the first debate tomorrow, you know, this plan that he's going to lay out is going to, like, shut everybody up. They're going to see, you know, what his plans are for the country. People are going to be surprised what he say, and it's just going to put him over the top, and they can't wait. Cocky is I don't know what.
See, that's
so if he get up
because,
there and he doing a bunch of stumbling, I'm gonna be too through.
His track record
right now.
It's too etched in stone at this point for him to say anything for me to believe. You know what I mean? I don't care what he lays out. It's not enough. It's not good enough for me because I just don't trust him. So. We shall see.
I don't trust anybody. I mean, like I said, he has money. He came from it, and it's like he has no sympathy for the people that don't. And just to have somebody like that in office who can't relate and don't understand, it's very scary for me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it.
He's desperate. That's why he's coming out like this. He has to do something drastic because he's desperate, because he knows he's losing in the polls right now as far as his popularity. So he has to come out with something that will kind of shock the world. But if anyone has any type of intelligence, look at his track record and how he just, you know, conducts himself. No matter what he says, you know it's going to be BS. So I don't know.
Yeah. I wish we had that clip that we played the last time again of how he just, you know, goes back and forth. But what he says, he's not consistent, you know. And that clip that you played, you know, for the last show, it just proved it. Like, how do you trust him? I don't agree with the president on this. And then he turns around, oh, yes, I believe this is necessary. Like, okay, you just said you don't believe in it.
Right.
Like, He retarded. Like, he forgets what he says. That's the worst thing. Like, when you always lying, you forget what you say. You can't keep track of what you say, and he's the perfect example of that. You know it's the truth. When you have to keep constantly lying about things, you forget what you say. But that person you told it to, they don't forget. They be like, I remember what you said last time. They give you that side eye, like, Like me, I'll just look at you and shake my head. I'll be like, Like, you're just talking to me like I'm stupid. Like, I don't remember what you said just the other day. Yeah, I remember. I'm a nod and smile, but I remember.
Hey, I want to know from the people out there, what they feel about this about the debate tomorrow, and I want to know what do people, as far
what
as the presidential.
What are you looking to hear?
Exactly. What are you looking to hear, basically, tomorrow? Are you looking for Obama to just come out and bring a certain type of smoothness? And like, to me, is that enough? Is it enough for him to come out there and just have, you know, a certain cockiness about the fact that he's in office and the kind of,
no.
you know. That's Yeah, right. To me, that's not enough either. You know what I mean? So I want to.
You know,
I'm definitely going to watch
it too.
Watch it tomorrow.
Right, right. I mean, I talk about, you know, how smooth he is and with it, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to still come with it. You know, all that means nothing. You have to back up what it is that you're saying. So, like I said, this is far beyond him being black. I just feel like he needs to, you know, to set out, you know, tell us what he's going to do, what his plan is for the next 4 years, how he, you know, how he plans to get the country back to where it needs to be. You know, or even try, you know. So this is what I want to hear. I want to hear from both of them what their plan is, you know, and take it from there. I'm still not going to vote for Romney, but I still want to hear how intelligently they lay out this plan. That's what I need
That's
to hear.
That's right. Call us up if you vote in none of the above. Call us up. We want to know. 646-478-3599.
Call us up.
That's
In the meantime, we're going to go back into some more music. What we got for him, Black? We got
a little bit of Raheem Devon and some Floetry. So we're going to
Floetry Marathon.
That's right. There we go.
I'm just built like this. Engulfing. Love making is a zone, a rhythm, a music.
Yeah.
I can help you love forever.
You know, special.
Connect.
Same things to be like.
Keep me going. Like a second turn to minute. As a minute turn to hours. As the sound of love is hollered. Time just keeps elapsing.
marathon. It's sexy. I like it.
Yeah, I like how you threw that in the playlist.
That's very, very nice.
Yeah, that's a nice duet right there.
Yeah, all those songs we play make you think of that, you know, that special person in your life and the things you want to do to them and, you know.
Tasty Tuesday, that's what you...
It's Tasty Tam Tuesday, TTT.
Oh, that's what... I like that. That's what we have to start calling it, too. Once a month.
Oh, God. I'm feeling myself tonight. Ridiculous. Let me give a shout-out to the whole six-man radio team. Every Saturday night from 7:30 to 9:30, we have the big boss man, Bad C, a.k.a. Nicholas Cage, and his co-host, Miss Bodega Fresh herself, Sugar Nine, Nadine Michelle. And every Wednesday night, we have Princess Jasmine with her show, Tell All Radio. Thursday night, we have Woodshop Radio with Miss Cobra. And Friday nights, we have the MCMI Report with GMS. So, y'all, make sure you check out the whole six-man team. We bringing it to you every night of the week. Don't miss it. Log in every night. You'll be surprised at what you hear. We taking over. Don't be scared. They scared of the six-man movement. Don't be scared, people. We love y'all. We
That's
do this
right.
for you. Here at PD Radio, we do this for you. So if you have, you know, the spoken word and you sing or you dance, whatever you do, any creative talent you have and you want the spotlight shine on you on PD Radio, hit us up. Send me an email at poeticdesignsradio@gmail.com. We'll make it happen. But you got to be
That's
good.
Right.
Don't be sending us no bull, because I will shoot you down. I have no problem shooting you down.
How many people you turn
make
down?
Sure,
talk to me.
Make sure you about your... You don't want to go there. Make sure you about your business, people. Seriously. We here, we want to help, you know, promote the people that's serious about what it is they do. You know, this is a fly-by-night operation. We ain't for you. So, if you're on your grind, hit us up at PD Radio. We'll make you shine. Well, that rhymes.
I like that.
If you're on your grind, PD Radio will make you shine. Uh-oh. See, that's the point.
Yeah, I wanna
put... It just happens without thinking.
Yeah, I want to put back out there that we are still looking for our first winner of the Just Infamous contest. That's still going on. Still going
on. I've moved on from that.
I don't know. I'm still holding on to it.
Don't hold on. Some things you got to let go. Yeah, we on to something else now. You have to learn to let some things go.
If
they haven't done it by now, they're not going to.
Taking the details off the webpage.
Look, people so rich today, they don't want that money. So, oh well. The pot will get bigger, and when we do the next one, somebody will win a bigger pot.
That's true.
So, that's how we're going to do it. We just going to let the jackpot grow. We like the lottery. You miss out the first time, the second person may get your winnings that you should have got because you was too scared to call in and do the contest. Anyway,
that's right.
I'm just saying. I want to quickly talk, you know, before we get into our guest tonight. I want to talk about Mr. Arnold, and you know I'm going to mess up his last name, Schwarzenegger.
Uh oh. Come on now.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Kinda. I'll let you pass on that one.
You say it.
Nah, you already said it.
Nah, you scared. Say it.
Nah.
Say it real fast. Say Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Miss PD is checking out.
Oh, man. I'm checking out. I checked out a long time ago.
With the Schwartz.
Oh, you trying to cut it down. Mm-hmm. You can't
That's
say the
right.
nigger part.
What's going on? You're having a good time tonight.
He wrote a tell-all book about his affair where he had this kid by his housekeeper. His family is horrified that he would even disgrace them like that. I mean, I want to know what you guys think about it. Arnold Schwarzenegger put out his tell-all book about his extramarital affair, which produced a teenage child. I want to know what y'all think about it. Call us up at 646-478-3599. I just want to say...
Just like it.
Number one, you already disgraced your family, you know, when it became public. Why the hell would you pen a book about it and just dig the knife in deeper? Why would he do that to his family? And you know what else is messed up?
Wait.
Know what else is messed up? The fact that he did this and he disgraced his wife and his children, his whole entire family, then wrote a book about it, the least he could do, any profits he gets, Maria needs to get half. She ain't getting jack. Nada for this book. Arnold's wrong. Now, they debated about that this morning, saying, you know, he's trying to put his career back on track, and they feel like the best thing for him to do is to put this book out to explain it. Nah, I don't agree with that. We already know what he did. You had an affair. You had a kid. Like, what more do you explain about it? And then somebody interviewed him, and they said, what did they say to him? They said, did you often cheat on Maria or something like that? He was like, you could say that. What do you mean you could say that? You did it. Like, you a cocky little something. Like, man, I have no respect for him for that. I'm sorry. None. He's going too far with it. You already disgraced that woman. Now you want to put a book out telling the details of it. Like, that's wrong. What are your thoughts on the Black? I know you want to say something.
Hey, it's all I was going to say was a man is trying to get paid. That's all that is. That's all.
Okay.
Obviously, he knows that his ex-wife is not going to get any of the proceeds. So... depending on how much she's already taken from him, he's trying to replenish that. So, what's the best way for him to do it? Can't really make any movies because he's old as hell, even though he does have a movie coming out. I don't know how that went down, but it's an action movie. Crazy. But
do you think he needs the money?
I mean, he doesn't gain anything by putting a book out. You know what I mean? Other than making money.
Exactly.
He doesn't gain anything. So, you know.
Wow. I can't get with that. I can't even understand him trying to justify doing that. But, you know, to each his own. But I think he's wrong for that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you did it. You screwed up. Okay. You know, your wife may even forgive you. What if she was going to forgive him at some point? I don't think she would, but I'm just saying, what if she was to forgive him? Now you
not
just
anymore.
Put the knife in even deeper by just taking it to a whole other level by putting this book out. Like, he should have thought for it. His people should have advised him against that big time. But, you know, you do what you need to do for your fame, I guess. It's not that deep for me. Never understood how people just put all their business out like that just for a few dollars or, you know, for that little 15 minutes of fame. Like, is it that deep for you? Your life must be real pathetic, you know. But that's how I see it. I don't know how everybody else see it, but you know. Anyway, our callers, our guests will be on soon. GPA and Cotton, remember when you guys call in, press 1 to speak with us so we can put you in the queue. We're going to go into a song right now, and then we're going to come back with our guests for the night. what we got coming up next. The spoken piece, right?
I think so. Love You or something of that nature.
Called
whatever.
Love You.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Let's play that. Here we go.
If I took my hands and wrapped them around your waist, look you directly in your face, pulled you so close to me that you could feel my heart pick up pace, told you that losing you would break me. Baby, if I haven't told you lately, I love you. For every smile you've ever given me, for every morsel of food you've ever delivered me, for every time you ever wanted to give up on me, for every time you were so frustrated you just wanted to punch me, I love you. And if you were to leave, I simply couldn't conceive a future. It would break my heart. There is nothing on this earth that can function without its best part. I'm begging you to reconsider. I'm gonna stand here with my heart on my sleeve until you believe that there is no one on this planet who can love you the way that I do. And even with all my imperfections, I've always been there for you. I mean, I'm a man. Everybody know we got issues, but I love you. I love you in the way Harriet Tubman loved to free the slaves. I love you in the way that chivalry are the rules by which all men are supposed to behave. I love you far beyond these earthly days, straight through to infinity. And if I don't show you this time, then by God, let hell be my penalty. I love you. And there is no worse punishment I can endure than never again being able to touch you. See, I love you in the way the Middle Passage waters comfort the souls of our ancestors. I love you in the way my grandfather told stories to my grandmother while she was dying of cancer. It's something more than mortal, something angelic, something that has to be respected, something so true that I don't think my spirit can rest in peace unless my body was buried next to you. I'd rather my soul walk this earth in constant unrest. For some reason, I couldn't spend eternity in heaven with you. I love you. And I can't even ponder what it would be like to see you in the arms of another, to go someplace and see you, wondering if this man is my sexual equal, wondering if you two make the kind of music when you make love that you and I do. And even with all that said, I know that if I truly love you, I've also got to be willing to let you go. See, I love you so much, I'd rather see you enjoying life with someone else than being miserable with me, because I realize far too late exactly what it takes to make you happy. Just know that these doors for you, baby, they revolve. Come and go as you please. Take every drop of humanity from me until you get exactly what it is that you need. I love you, and I truly hope that you can still find a reason to love me.
Go there. Go. in the present, you're loving in a braver way. I wear the aura of a king and dream of a love supreme. As a child, I was told that my love is king. See what it can bring to the lives of those that ain't afraid to give with their souls exposed. Golden rose, you color my reality with balladry, allowing me to love like a child of three. I'd rather be a superstar.
You are back with PD Radio, and on the line right now, we have one half of our poetic duo on the line. We have for your listening pleasure right now, Mr. GPA, the greatest
Yo.
Poet alive. Give it up for Woo. Mr. GPA.
Yo. That sounds real good.
That's
how you feeling
you
out there?
Kind, sir. How you doing?
Man, listen, first of all, thank y'all for having me. I greatly appreciate it. I stepped in. Y'all do an excellent job on y'all show, keeping it real.
Thank
I know that's
you.
Cliche, but y'all keep it real, keep it honest, and you know, keep it ethnic. You know what I'm saying? So thank y'all for having me and my partner. She's trying to call in. She's just having some difficulties, but y'all got me, so I'm here.
I see her. I see her. She's there
okay.
again. We waiting to bring her in, but she's trying. I see her efforts.
No
well,
doubt,
I
want to no
thank
doubt.
You for taking the time for coming on tonight and sharing your talents with us. And you know what? Hold on 1 second. We're going to bring her in right now. Miss Cotton, you're on the line with PD Radio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
There we go.
I'm good. Thank
there
you.
There we go.
So we have you and your partner now on the line. Give it up for Miss Cotton, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo! We are complete.
We are complete. You are complete. We thank you both for taking the time
both
to be time. On tonight.
Sweet.
I want to start out. I want both of you to, you know, to tell the listeners where you're from. Tell them your names and where you're from.
Ladies first.
I am
Miss Cotton.
I am Cotton, the soft-spoken poet. I'm originally from Kansas City. I currently live in Sacramento, California.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
Mr. GPA.
Yo. Let it get silent for a second. Because this is a little overwhelming. If you're near water right now, please step away from the water. Don't get out of the tub. Don't wash up. Don't get in the shower. Because
don't get electrocuted.
It's quite electrifying. Ladies and gentlemen, from the south side of Chicago, Illinois, James and Shirley's son, Gus's brother, Morgan's dad, the controversial, critically acclaimed, best-selling, most electrifying man, master storyteller, king of erotic poetry. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not standing right now, stand up. G.
Stand up.
Hey.
Yay!
You have to record that.
I took my own breath away with that one.
That was an amazing introduction. You go, GPA. I love that.
Thank you. Let's get it.
All right, let's get it. I want to start out by saying, you know, both of you have respectively done well on your own merit, but how long have the two of you been poetic partners?
It began a little bit over a year ago. We met on Facebook. Typically, most stories go, we met on Facebook. I followed, you know, we had been on the show, Red Snapper Show. Shout out to Red Snapper, Word Sexy Radio. We had been on his show at different times. And I remember her. And I saw when I finally made the connection from her voice to her face and then her poetry, I was like, oh, man, I remember you. I sent her some of my, because she got several books in. She got 7 books in that she's written, published, and sold a bunch of copies of. Yeah. So, you know, I was like, wow, here I am. I only had a couple books in at the time. I'm like, wow. Let me just say hello, this, that, other, and, you know, we hit it off. We have the same views on love and uplifting of black love, especially. So we just meshed, and then we met, and then we said, hey, you know what, we can do this together. We're respectively talented on our own, but we're even more formidable and unstoppable combined. So here we go. You know.
Explosive. I love it. Well, GPA, you're the author of what, is it 3 books that you have out right now?
3 books, yeah.
You have The Confessional Heart of a Man, the book of 24 Orgasms, which I want to let the listeners know has been nominated for Book of the Year.
Correct.
And you have your latest release, The Mind of the Poetic Unsub. Now, I just want to just say real quick, I need to go pick up that book of 24 Orgasms just to kind of see where your words take me on that one. I'm very curious about that book right there. But what inspired you? What inspired you to start writing?
Well, as the story goes, I guess you want to say my legend goes. I was incarcerated in from 2006 to 2008 in federal institution for tax fraud. So in 2007, I keep it 100. I mean, it's there. It's public record, so there it
love
is.
It.
So, you know,
I love it.
So in 2007, I was sitting around. I was watching guys, you know, guys who came in with maybe a little bit more than me or guys who came in with a little less than me. They all were trying to figure out what to do. And I said to myself, you know, I need to do something besides working out and, you know, watching reality TV and all. I need to figure out something I need to do. What can I do in here and make this time productive? Well, I've always wrote poems. And I started writing poems for guys. You know, they'll look over your shoulder, ask you what you're writing, and then they want to hear it. So I started my own enterprise of writing poems for guys, for their mothers, for their wives, their children, et cetera, and so forth. And someone said to me, you know, you missed your call, and you're stealing those white folks' money. You should have been writing poetry, writing books.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know what? Let me sit. So I said, let me sit and write a book. And I know everybody says that in prison that you do a couple of things. You either write a book or you find God if you didn't have him already. You find some sort of religion. So I said, let me set a deadline of 30 days. And so I wrote The Confessional Heart of a Man. What would become The Confessional Heart of a Man in 30 days? And then I had these guys read it. And, you know, these are felons and stuff. They read it and gave me their thumbs up, like, because I'm not trying to be too deep. I'm not trying to hit you with too many metaphors. I'm just going to say what it is that needs to be said, and that's it. So, and that's where it started. And then since then, I've just been doing what I think I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just going to do that until I can't do it anymore. I'm not here. So.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's the type of poetry that I like. I like it simple because I think some people try to go too far with, like you said, they just try to get a little bit too deep with it, you know, with the metaphors and all that. It's like, keep it simple. Keep what's coming from your heart. You know, people can relate better to that. And, you know, that's just the type of work that I personally like to read. Now, your book, The Confessional Heart of a Man, was that about your experience while you were locked up or just about life itself?
It's a combination of, excellent question. That's a combination of both things. It was therapeutic to be, because like most people, I had my own insecurities, have still, but had my own insecurities. So I was able to cleanse a few things, get a few demons from off me by writing that book. Mm-hmm. And then it also, like, there's a poem in there called Locked Up, and it talked about what it was like to be locked up. And guys really dug that. So that's one of the pieces I perform from time to time because it's true to life, you know, by being on the phone and, you know, people coming in, fewer people leave, but more people coming in. So that was all of that. And then everything else after that has been a progression towards this current book. Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Cotton, I'm going to throw it over your way. And I just want to say, first of all, your name is Cotton. I love that name. You spell it Kottyn. That is just so cute. I love it. Love how you spell it. I'm intrigued. I have this thing. I'm intrigued by names, and I like to know how people get their names. Is your name self-given, or was it placed upon you by another?
My real name is Sheila. That's my real name. The last name is still Campbell. The name I came up with because I started off actually doing plus-size modeling. And I was often told how soft my skin was. So, you know, me, right, you know, being, I didn't used to be as conceited as I am. I'm a little bit conceited now, but at the time I just, you know, laying in bed, you know, you kind of scratch a leg or two here and there, and I said, wow, my skin is pretty soft. Let's go with Cotton. So that's why I got the name, and I just decided to spell it differently.
Wow.
So you know, Miss Lady,
like
I'm not trying to steal your thunder by any means, but I can relate to that because I do that too. Like in the summertime, if I'm driving, you know, I have my shorts on or my skirt, and I'll just kind of put my leg on my thigh and be like,
wow.
And then
I'll be like, oh, wow.
And that's when you realize what
changing
everybody
direction
else is talking about. It's like, oh, wow, that's what they're talking about. Oh, my skin.
You better go, Kai, and I love it.
Got hot up in here.
Calm down, fellas.
See what you do to them, Cotton? You see what you're doing to them to the fellas?
I think if we both are on that.
Well, Mr. GPA, you are certainly a man of merit in making a name for yourself with being a 2011 Black Essence Award winner for poetry and charity. What was that like for you to be the winner of that?
Thank you. Wow. it was humbling because, you know, I came to, and Cotton can really, you know, expound on that a whole bunch, but I came to a time that was kind of rough for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And to come out of that, to come on that side of that with that and to be a part of the ceremony and then everything to come after, it was just huge. It was like one of those things like scoring a basket. To give a sports analogy, it's like scoring a basket to stop somebody else's run that they were having and then turning the momentum the other way. It's just awesome. Great. I can't even give you words for it, truly, but I just was humbled by it and just glad I could represent us, you know what I'm saying, poets and us Black folks well as far as that. So,
well, what charities do you support?
When I was running one of my open mics, one of the things we always took proceeds to for domestic violence, breast cancer, multiple sclerosis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
a great call.
Thank you. Every winter we collect coats there. You know, I'm masonically inclined. So one of the things we have to do is part of our duties is charity. So every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, I collect canned goods and take them to shelters. I collect coats and toys and take them to women and children's shelters. Because they need it, you know, it's the people who are without. So it's just something
right
to think to do. not a lot of things. I don't talk about it a whole bunch. They just, some people knew me and they talk, you know, they spoke on it and nominated me and all that. But it's just something I think you, when you gain some merit of success, some level of success, you got to give it back, I think.
I agree. Yeah. And it says a lot about your person to even recognize that, because some people don't.
Yeah.
You know, they just feel like, oh, I won this, you know, I'm the shit. Excuse me, but they like, I'm the shit, you know, and they don't think about giving back. So respect to you on that, for doing that. Appreciate
that.
Thank
you. I still say I'm the shit, though. I still say that.
Oh,
myself.
You can say it, but the difference is you can say it because you do give back. Some people say it and they don't give back. You know, they just feeling themselves. But you have the right, you have earned the right to say it. So do you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Miss Cotton, you've been writing for over 10 years, I believe your bio says, and you have some books out called He's Beautiful to Me. I love that title. Strong in My Woman, The Love Letter, and I think your recent release is Sweet Mangoes.
Sweet Mangoes.
Sweet Mango. That sounds like a book you really want to read. I don't even know which direction that's going in, but I'm going to have to find that out real soon. Now, your bio says it was sadness and heartache that inspired your writing. Have you elevated from that, or is that still your passion for writing?
That's still my passion, along with the things that I desire to have in my life. I think the heartache comes from not having, and the lack of love that I've had in my life for so many years. And so in trying to obtain that, I think I failed at getting that for so long that I just decided at some point I like to also speak about what I desire and how I want to have it and how he needs to give it to me. And by something, how I want to be able to give it to him, you know, and what I'll do. I mean, I talk about a lot of different things, and people are amazed that, you know, often when I first started writing, they thought that maybe I was in a relationship because of the way I wrote. I spoke of a man that didn't exist in my world. So, but it's like, no, this is what I want. This is what I desire. And when he, if he reads any of this, then he's going to know that's what he needs to bring to the table.
Wow, Cotton, again, I mean, I'm not trying to steal your thunder, but, man, it's like we have a lot in common. I can do the same thing. I can write about a situation, like, that hasn't happened. It's like, maybe it's what I want, but it hasn't happened. But if somebody else reads it, they'll think, oh, who is she writing about, or what is this about? I'm like, no, this is, like you said, it's what I desire. And, you know, a lot of people can't do that. They can't step outside of that and do that. So respect to you on that. I love it.
When you read Sweet Mangoes, you will see that GPA is mentioned in there quite a few times.
Okay.
Because he was in some things that was, at the time, was well needed. So
okay.
He has quite a few poems in there about him. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Love it.
Oh, yeah.
How you feel about that, Mr. GPA over there?
Well, you know, I am electrifying.
Being an inspiration.
You know,
I know, I'm not near no water. I'm not near the water, so I'm good.
You know, I am electrified, so I mean, but no, all seriousness, you know, as I stated before, it's awkwardly ironic and humbling at the same time to be a muse, to be someone's muse, or be depicted as that when I've, you know, been on the other side of the pen. You know, it's, that was just really, to read some of the things, and I bought the first copy. I always buy the first copy of books. It's just what I have to do. It's what you got to do. So
when
I was reading, I was like, wait a minute, is this about me? Wait a minute. Oh, wow. Because at first I was, you got to turn the conceit off just a little bit sometimes when you read. It's not everything is about you. So that's just something else. It just shows how wonderful of a person she is. I can't begin to describe the admiration and respect I have for Cotton, not only as far as being poets and a tag team partner, but just as a wonderful woman that she is. So I was deeply flattered by that.
That is so beautiful.
About.
Wow.
Oh,
I'm loving the chemistry between the two of you. I really am. That's awesome. GPA, why don't you tell us a little bit about the League of Extraordinary Poets, for which you are the founding member of?
No longer functioning, but something when I came up with it.
No?
No, no problem, no problem. And I'm glad you went back to the history, but idea was, I'm a comic book dude, so I thought of the Justice League, the Super Friends. I thought of Justice League Super Friends, so I said to myself, you know, you go to some poetry / spoken word places, and they're cliquish. Mm-hmm. So I said to myself, as opposed to me going by myself, form, or even hosting a show, or even, you know, putting together anything, I should have help around me. People with like-minded intent, above average adeptness at their craft, and, you know, just good people to hang around, and let's form this. And it was, you know, it was a great concept. It worked for a few years. I want to be as politically, forget that. People start feeling themselves a little bit. Once you start seeing your name on flyers and all that type of stuff, you forget that you're part of a unit.
Right.
And not just unto yourself. So you start, you know, you forget, hey, before anybody booked you, it was us. Mm-hmm. We booked our own selves. We had our own thing going. We did our own pushing. We did our own traveling. We got our own we got on shows as a unit, and even individually, we went on each other's shows to give support. Once that got lost in the shuffle, then the entire concept just fell apart. But it was a great time.
Yeah. It's a great time. You find that happens too. If one person from a group, you know, gets a little bit more shine than the rest, then you kind of find that envy stepping in, and it kind of tear things apart.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you just kind of find that the envy steps in and tears it apart when really, you know, if one shines, you know, we all shining, but I don't know why we don't see it that way. Because if you go to a higher level, you're going to bring them with you. But they just see you getting a spotlight, and it's like, you know, he think he better than us. It's sad, but it's like that. You know, you got to recognize it and just move on and take it for what it is. Have you released your CD yet, the GPA Experience? Is that out yet?
Oh my goodness, released that last November 4th for my mom's birthday. Has done very well. You know, I tell you, I never thought, and Cotton to tell you, I never thought that my voice would work well on a CD. I mean, I'm a writer first and foremost. And then performing really cool. But I never thought, you know, I never thought, but wow. I mean, when people, you know, they hear it, and then they give us feedback all the time, like, hey, love the CD. There are ladies who say they've driven around their cities playing it. I mean, and we sold a bunch. You know, it's kind of cool. So, yeah. Yeah, it's a great working on the second one. We're working on the second one now. And this one's going to be, I'm going to go on record right now and say this one's going to blow the first one away.
I need to get up on the first one so I'm prepared for the second one. So
exactly.
I'm going to work that out, get my hands on that. Miss Cotton, you released a CD this year as well called, was it 3S? 3S's?
Yes.
Sensual, Softly Spoken.
Yes.
What kind of hypnotic poetry can we expect to hear on there?
I talk about things, just different things. His lips being one. That's probably one of my favorites. My introduction is my other favorite, just because of music that's behind it and how I speak, and it's I love it. I wanna do something more advanced, but I like the way that it's going right now. And so I've gotten the feedback that, you know, people just love the sound of my voice. So I'm like, well, you know,
you do.
That's what it's there for.
Okay. You do have a very beautiful, sensual, sexy voice. It is. I mean, as a woman, I'm just listening to you. I'm like,
Wow.
That's why I'm so quiet over here.
Thank you.
Hey, you just got to keep it real. You got to give respect where it's due, and respect to Cotton
on
that lovely, sexy voice she has over there. Now, the both of you are traveling poets. What are some of the cities you performed in?
We just came from St. Louis. We were there. We were there for the Fall Into Literary Book Festival. We went to Houston for the NAACP convention, the Authors Pavilion. Been to New York and New Jersey, Sacramento. I went up there. Cotton hosted a couple of shows there. I know I missed something. I've been to Detroit, and then Cotton's headed to feature in Detroit soon.
Right.
I know I'm missing some spots, but and then we still gotta go till we're going to Kansas, then back to California. Then we'll be heading to Milwaukee for next year for the Romance Writers Conference. We're part of the Poetry Fest in Atlanta. Mark Goggins, shout out to Mark Goggins. He's hosting this big thing that they do every year, and we're featured performers of that. So there are a number of things, a number of places we have been, and then some places still to go, Lord willing. So we're very fortunate to be able to move around with this thing we love doing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You guys definitely have to keep us updated to where you're going to be performing at. And with enough notice, you know, I may have to show up and check you guys out.
That'd be hot.
I would definitely love to see you. Black and I would love to come out and see you guys perform, represent PD Radio. So keep us updated and, you know, where you're going to be performing at. That's awesome. Mr. GPA, Mr. Greatest Poet Alive, I understand you're going to debut a piece for us tonight, which I'm excited about. Are you ready to share that with us right now?
I am.
Well, you know what? Since you are, let me set you up quite lovely. So hold on. I'm going to set up your piece right now. Here we go.
PD exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is a PD exclusive.
Oof.
Right now we have GPA on the line, the greatest poet alive, and he's going to debut a piece for us right here on PD Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for GPA.
I like that. Dark lurid thoughts invade my mind. Dark lurid thoughts invade my mind. It is surprising I think of these things. It is a dreary day outside of this Wisconsin Dale 7. Your body stretched in four different directions. Naked, you sway to and fro on this erotic swing. Painful ecstasy comes from your moans as tighter closes the nipple rings. Restraining legs perform grasshopper movements from the pleasure the agony brings. My hands become a paddle and whip respectively, reddening backside repetitiously. The gag in your mouth. Blindfolded, but you still scream out and stare directly at me. Hot candle wax, melting ice, and sweet honey form outer layers of your skin, fully drenched in dripping your chasm. So I push the swing forward, catch it when it comes backwards, then roughly I enter in. I remove the gag. I remove the gag, but breaths are still difficult. Escaping the belt tightens around your neck as the camera continues taping. Lovemaking of a gentle sort was not your wish. You commanded and was served. Sex extreme. The mask lowers over your face now, so only you can hear your screams. From Chocolate Rose 3, Extreme, my poem.
That's classic
I was not ready. I was so not ready for that one.
I've been telling you every day on Twitter. I said, listen.
Yes, you have.
I got something. I said, I'm going to bring this. Hey. I'm going to debut it on your show. I said, be ready. You said, okay, I'm ready. I said, are you sure? And I don't think you really talk to the people about that side of me, so if you will let me expound just a bit.
Please do.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening, you might have heard it mentioned, but let me expound just a tad bit. Last year, I wrote a book entitled The Book of 24 Orgasms. You have to understand this is not your typical spoken word erotica, because it's not spoken word, it's poetry, number one. Number two, I don't use any vulgar language or use of expletives in any of my poetry, including my sensual poetry. That's number two. And number three, I believe, pay very close attention to this, women and men as well, pay very close attention to number three. The orgasm does not begin when someone gets on top of you, underneath you, on the side of you, anything. It doesn't begin with the physical.
You better tell it.
It begins with that implantation of the mental aspect that starts marinating both the man and the woman towards arousal. It builds with the facilitation that you give with every compliment, with every hello, hi, how you doing, was thinking about you, missing you. Then it continues to build. By the time you come around to you and that other individual meeting, if you have done exactly what you were supposed to do, then orgasm is basically but an afterthought because you've already gotten there.
Man, you better tell it.
That's what that is. So I happen to be very adept at writing this type of poetry as well as the other stuff I do. And if it comes across how it sounds, I'm sorry, it's just how it sounds and it's just the truth. But as well as that, the Erotic Tranquility anthology I'm a part of. I was one of the kings of poetry here where they had a concert with Strawberry Taylor, and as well as Chocolate Rose 1, Chocolate Rose 2, and I'm the featured poet again in Chocolate Rose 2, an erotic anthology composed of short stories and poetry, my poetry. And that poem that you heard was one of the poems from Chocolate Rose 3 that I felt like debuting. There we go.
Sweet.
Wow. Wow. We definitely appreciate you, you know, sharing your first on PD Radio. We are honored to have you do so. Lovely.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Crazy piece. I love it. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at the ice. I can't find it. I can't get to the ice, but it's somewhere around here. You go, DPA. I love it. Miss Cotton,
you.
Would you like to share something with us?
Or I can share.
Hello, Miss Cotton?
Yes. Can you hear me?
You're very faint.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you. You're still very faint. Would you like to share a piece with us tonight?
Sure.
All right.
You are kind of low.
Let me. Yeah, you are. You're very low. But let me set you up the way I set up your partner. So hold on 1 second.
PD exclusive. This is a PD exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your sensual listening enjoyment, we give you Miss Cotton.
What happens when the love dissolves? When we no longer feel the same? When we no longer feel the same way we did just a few years ago? How did we let go? How do we say goodbye or see you later, knowing we will never be as one? Our unity has become a separation of the heart. What matters is our heart. Neither of us planned for this, and now we have to give our last kiss. The pain that will come with this will linger for just a little while. Through all this, we have to consider our unborn child. This may take some time to get past. We have to remember that some things just don't last. But we should remain friends. We have a child together. So whatever our differences, we should mend. Fix what's broken so the negative thoughts will go unspoken, never heard by the ears of our only child, our new gift of life. It just didn't work. It just didn't work out. Me as your husband and you as my wife. This is life. When it's over, we just move on. Softly spoken.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. You putting you guys on the PD Wall of Fame, baby.
Oh yeah, your voice, Cotton, is just beautiful. And even though you just read that piece for me, I just want to play a clip of some of what you do that you submitted to us. I think people really need to hear that. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, I give you Miss Cotton.
Cotton, she speaks soft-spoken poet, which means in her softest tone, she may say things like, "Would you cry for me? Cotton, can you hit it from the back?" Or her confidence exudes when she enters a room. And in her, Cotton, the soft-spoken poet, soft-spoken tone, she's going to arouse you, make you fall in love, or you may even wish she was with you, but she's with him. Cotton, she's softly spoken.
Radio. Now, how hot and sexy was that?
Wow.
Y'all not ready for Cotton, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all not ready for her. I don't think they're ready for her.
You're
killing it, Cotton. I love that.
Thank you. It's not, you know, sometimes I have to pull it back a little bit because I've toned it down. Well, I've toned it down just a tiny bit just because I've had to change my numbers a whole bunch of times. So.
Oh, you were getting them like that, huh? I'm
yeah,
sure.
It was starting to get annoying. So, you know, now
wow.
I've had to block. I have to set my Facebook account is set up a certain way, and now I use a Google number. So.
Wow.
Wow. See what that sexiness does to them? Well, you're killing it. I love it. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of both of you guys. Seriously
thank
a fan.
You.
Thank you.
Wow. I know Black has, you know, a question or two he wanted to ask you guys before you go. So go right ahead, Black.
Oh, man. So I'm just going to, you know, I got to turn the page. I'm just going to flip it because I want to kind of pull into, you know, you guys and if you, basically, I want you guys to put our listeners on the couch. So as far as relationships and things like that, we want your feedback. So we're going to do ladies first. And I want to know, Cotton, everyone has seen, you know, a lot of people have seen a Steve Harvey, you know, Think Like a Man movie, read the book. I want to know how accurate do you think it is as far as, based on your experience, as far as trying to get a man and keep them, and, you know, do you see any conflicts with that movie and book and what people actually do today?
Oh, absolutely. I don't like game plans. So to tell a woman that she should hold out for 3 months until blah, 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 hold that, you know, and I find that to be an issue because why are we still using our sex as a tool to either keep or get rid of an individual? Why are we not using our heart, our mental, and our emotions? You know what I mean? I'm past that. I've never done that. And so when I hear, mm-hmm. I've recently had some females tell me that, you know, girl, you should, no, I don't do those kind of games. If he ain't man enough to want me and I'm being honest and real with him, then he ain't not the one that I want to be bothered with. So
exactly.
At some point you gotta know that your worth has gotta be. I mean, if your worth is only what's between your legs, then you're not worth a whole lot, and that's just my opinion.
You tell it. Yes.
Right, because it's almost
that's
like playing a
right
game
with
inside of a game. You know, you can't get anywhere like that. You know what I mean? So
right. Because once that game dies down, like any game, once the game is over, then you got to deal with real life and the real person that you're dealing with, and that's not
right.
The person
mm-hmm.
that was just playing this game with you. That's a whole different person.
Exactly.
Yeah, once the real comes out, you're gonna look at that person totally different. So you might as well keep it all the way real.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
From the jump.
Right.
I find that a lot of women don't value themselves. And like you said, their worth is what's between their legs, thinking that's what's going to keep and hold that man. No, a real man is going beyond that. Like, he may enjoy it because you're throwing it at him, but, you know, he's not going to respect you. He doesn't want you to meet his mama, and he's not going to marry you. So, you need, you know, these women, you know, these young ladies need to think about that. Somebody need to school them quick.
Yes.
Seriously.
I agree.
You know, that's right. Mr. GPA, what do you think about that?
I tell you, when I first heard about the movie and first heard about the book, I thought it was nonsense, because no way a woman should think like a man when she has the higher knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I say that because, and I know a lot of people, you know, may look at me sideways, but I go back to the biblical reference of it, from Eve biting from the tree of life, the fruit from the tree of life first. Therefore, she gained knowledge of self before Adam and was able to tell Adam what was going on. So that has stemmed from there going forward. So,
right. So
a lot of times, women, and I'm just going to say it, I'll say it, women relinquish the power that they have for nonsense, because his hair is curly, his skin is light, he's got muscles, he's got a six-pack, he's got money, he drives a Benz or a Beamer, and wonder why certain things happen. And I broke it down recently like this. The only way you can call a woman is if she gives you her number. The only way after you call a woman you can take her out on a date is if she says, yes, I don't mind going out on a date. The only way any of those things happen from a man to a woman, I'm speaking from a man to a woman, not any other, you know, offshoots or anything like that. The only way that happens is that a woman allows that to happen. Conversely, when negative things occur, once a man has gone outside his boundaries of what you want to happen, you have to hold him accountable. Everybody has to hold everybody accountable, but typically women, sisters, you don't hold men, brothers accountable. If you say don't pick me up after 9 o'clock and he shows up at 9:03, you got to hold it to that, because then he'll know, he can either respect the fact that you're serious or he'll go on about his way. And either way, you win, because you gained more respect from this gentleman, or you've gotten rid of a miscreant that you didn't want to be bothered with anyway.
Exactly.
That's loss. You know, that whole thing about opening the door, I thought, now, he hit on some things. Now, don't get me wrong. In the movie, in the book, he hit on some things. A lot of us brothers, maybe because someone didn't tell us, maybe because we aren't held accountable for it, we've forgotten how to be gentlemen. We've forgotten that it's important to treat a lady like a lady until she shows you otherwise, and then if you don't want to be bothered with other than the lady, then you can go about your way. But you have to present yourself like a gentleman, and that's lost. You know, dress like a gentleman, speak like a gentleman. Yeah, and, you know, so those things that were spotlighted in the movie were on point about being a gentleman, opening the door, things of that nature. But some of the other stuff, sisters, it does fall on you. Like Cotton and I had a debate recently, and we were talking about, she said, well, for grown men, I said, no. Things that grown men do that are messed up, they're just messed up. That's just on them. But I'm talking about in relation from a man to a woman, you know what you like and you don't like. Don't take what you don't like. Don't accept less than what you want to have. Because once you do that, you reinforce the behavior. That's all.
Very true. And it's funny that you brought up the whole chivalry thing, because I actually did have a question on that. But I don't want to go into that question. I have another one for you guys. Real quick, if I can. I know we're running out of time. Do you guys feel, Cotton, I want to go with you first, do you feel that men and women know how to recognize a true relationship, or do we sometimes sabotage ourselves because we fall into the trap of social media, the national media, TV, et cetera? Do we take too many notes from the media on what a relationship really is, and we sabotage ourselves? Like, how do you feel about that?
I think if you truly have a good relationship with God and you're connected, then you know what a real relationship looks like. You know,
if
this person only has two of the things that's on your list, and the rest they're not there, then you know that's not. The red flags go up immediately, and you know what those are, unless you're creating an issue to keep you. Now, people can sabotage their own selves by not, you know, pushing away the person that's good for the person that ain't so good just because sometimes they don't think they deserve it, or what you said you want isn't what you really want, but you're just putting it out there because it sounds good.
Right. You spoke
that's
the truth
right.
on that. That
it's
is the truth.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
He said,
Hey, you know, I'm going to bring them questions tonight. I wish we had more time, man. I got some questions.
Yo, I definitely appreciate that. That's, you know, it's a different change of pace to get stuff like that. So I appreciate that. I do believe that things have become so muddled in what relationships are supposed to be and then what they actually look like. I think when you mention the social networking, that has tempered it some. And then you also have to remember that now with the rash of reality TV shows, I mean, give you all the do's and don'ts, and then you take all that from what's actually supposed to be entertainment into your own households or your own walking down the streets. You take all that. So we don't know what we're supposed to be doing, and that's why I go back to what I stated previously. If women are ladies or conduct themselves as such, and men conduct themselves as gentlemen, everything else pretty much will take care of itself because there's a certain way you're supposed to go with it. There's a certain, I mean, as far as the 90-day rule, I mean, that's kind of garbage to me because once you feel something and y'all have some sort of synergy, then you kind of got to go with, to go against that is counterproductive. But there is a certain way to go about stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I really think we go back to basics. We go back to, hey, I call you. We talk on the phone a few times. Then we go out on a date, a few dates. We get to know each other. You know, if before we bring each other around, kids, family, friends, we get to know each other. We have built the foundation, whereas, okay, this is my person. This is who I'm building this thing with. This is who I can show to my people. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa.
Right.
We got to go back to basics because we got away from that.
All right. Well, we are running out of time, and I hate it.
Yes. I hate to let you guys go. You know what, Black? We need to have them back on again, the two of them.
I was just going to say that.
A relationship show.
Yes, indeed.
Just to vibe with you guys on relationship questions, you know, that would be a great show. So I want to hook up with you guys, and we're going to work that out because I definitely want to have you back on the show because you guys have a lot to offer. I just want to say, you know, yeah, separate you guys sizzle, but together you explode. GPA, Cotton, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on PD Radio tonight. And
thank
we
you.
Would love to have you back on the show. And for everyone who's listening, you can get their information on our website, pdradio.site40.net. Check them out. Follow them. These guys are the ones to watch. Again, PD Radio, thanks, GPA, and Cotton.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all.
All right, guys. We got to roll out the show. You have a good night.
Thank you.
Definitely. Loved
thank
it.
You.
Love it. Yes, thank you. Oh, man.
Beautiful, beautiful show.
You know, I'm mad,
great,
I'm mad we don't.
Great guest.
I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time.
Yeah. So we should have had them on for the whole 2 hours.
Yeah, we could have had a nice nice breakdown of relationships and everything. That would have been a real, real, real good one. So, but we're going to have them back on. All right, I'm going to let you end it out, Ms. PD.
I just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, another night with PD Radio, with me, your host, Ms. PD, and my awesome co-host, Mr. Black. We try to bring it to you every week, guys. If you love the show, tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend. Good night.
That's right. Tell a friend. Tell my friends. And then I'm going to
tell
your friends. Tell
your friends. Get with my friends. We can be friends.
That's right. PD right. Radio, baby.
PD Radio.
Let's go. Bringing you real talk. That's right. Bringing you real talk. That's right. Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio.